The Six Pillars of Freedom on Freedom 970 KUFO AM Portland.
Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group, Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com, or you can call him right now at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
We do Investing Simplified.
Good morning, Portland and the entire Northwest. Welcome to Investing Simplified. And this is your opportunity to ask a question. We have in studio with us this morning, Carl Jepson with the Warren Allen Law Firm, estate planning attorney.
Good morning, Chuck.
And Kevin Stege, Baker Colson, CPA.
Hello, gentlemen.
And Kevin, welcome, and myself. And if you have a question, pick up the phone, give us a call. The thing that makes our show different, and we are the longest-running live financial show in the Northwest that takes calls and answers your questions. So if you want to pick up the phone, give us a call at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626, or toll-free 800-990-0750. That's 800-990-0750. So pick up the phone, give us a call. I'm going to give a couple of announcements here just before we get started. My book, Investing Simplified, is now available on Amazon. You can go on to Amazon.com and pull up the book. And if you get the book, hopefully you'll read it and write a review. Whether you like it or not, just go ahead and do a review. It'll be nice to see what you say. Also, if you do have questions about the show, you can email us at askchuck@pfgwm.com. And we're going to get right off into the program, and I'm going to put Kevin gave in today with a stack of tax code books and stuff, and so he's got my curiosity going, Carl.
Well, yeah, I mean, I figured he was going to start with tab one and work through tab 25.
Yeah, I think we're going to have an exciting show today, and Kevin's going to talk about the tax code.
Huh, interesting. Well, this is unexpected. Well, you know, this is I actually had a prepared dig at the resident attorney here, and so after the Pink Panther music, I was going to say this is the segment of our show where I talk about something that Carl called me about earlier in the week. But
well, let me do a little promo to that, and we can have our esteemed engineer get the Pink Panther music. We can get you right in the mood. How's that?
Well, I've already stole my own thunder. So
go ahead.
All right.
Okay. Well, in the words of a famous philosopher, go ahead, make my day.
Oh, okay. I will. Yes.
Clint Eastwood there.
I understand that philosophy. I will retreat to the tax code quietly. So, well, it should be an interesting tax season this year. A couple things that are happening in the IRS that are going to, I think, make things interesting for all taxpayers, not just professional preparers, but everybody who needs to file a tax return. Of course, the first thing is if and when they're going to get these tax extenders extended. And Carl, you had asked about the, I believe it was the charitable donation of a IRA a distribution, and that's one of the extenders. So who knows if that's going to happen or when, and if they do it, what's the time frame? And in the past, they have done it so late in the tax year that it's actually delayed the filing season.
You know, Kevin, for our listeners out there, you and I discussed this a couple weeks ago, too, and I assume what you're talking about is being able to take your IRA, your RMD, your required minimum distribution, and have it go directly to a charity instead of taking it out and paying the taxes. And this is one of the concerns a lot of my clients have, because a lot of my clients don't want to take that RMD. They want to give it to charity, and we won't know until December 31st, maybe?
Yeah, and that gives you all of how long to do it?
No time.
Exactly. So, you know, it's pretty standard on how government runs. It's just amazing that they can be in going into December and we still don't know what the tax laws are for the year, and for 2014 for these planning items.
Well,
so
whose responsibility is it? I mean, I'm assuming it's the Congress.
It is, and technically these 50 or so provisions have expired. So I guess we do know what the tax law is, but everybody has said this is going to be extended. We've got to have it for the economy, and who knows who's going to make the decision.
I know the House provides the money strings, so is it the Senate that presents that extends the tax code?
It's a combination of both, and I don't know who this is ultimately falling on.
Well, I just thought we could start a little controversy here, and everybody pick up the phone and call their senator or their congressman and say, "Listen, when you go back on December 1st, how about getting on top of this thing and passing it so we can donate to a charity?"
Yep. I hear you. So that's the first thing, and the timing of it. You know, if it's too late in the year, the IRS needs time to reprogram their systems, as they say, to accept these changes or not accept them. And you would think that they would have a version both ways, but I guess they don't quite do it that way. So because they don't know what's going to be extended either. So it has in the past delayed the filing season. For when people can even e-file, and so
one of the things that brings up, and I'm going to ask you because maybe you don't know, I don't know, but I know that the House of Representatives presented almost 380 bills that they passed, moved on to the Senate to Harry Reid, and Harry Reid stonewalled them, and I thought it was kind of humorous this week when they were talking about the immigration bill. At least eight times the House passed immigration bills. And I never heard a thing about that on the news, that they passed immigration bill, sent it over to Harry Reid, and Harry Reid did not take a vote on it. But the president totally ignored that. And the question I have is, do we know if the House has presented this to the Senate and the Senate's just set on it?
I don't believe so. I think it's nobody wanted to touch it until after the midterms. And now they're all on vacation, so it's...
Well, it starts back up on the 1st, so
December. And that's when everyone figured they would address it, but, you know, I guess better late than never.
Well, it's going to affect a lot of people, and unfortunately, it's going to affect a lot of charities.
Yeah.
That's the sad part.
Yeah, exactly. So another thing that's going to affect your filing experience, if we can use that term, is since 2010... the IRS has lost over 13,000 full-time employees and 7% of its operating budget. So a significantly smaller stick, I guess you could say, which is basically, and they're trying to serve over 7 million more taxpayers since that time. So they're going to be hard-pressed to answer your phone call when you call in. And I believe that the numbers are... 47% of taxpayer phone calls might go unanswered, just unanswered. You thought waiting on hold for an hour was bad, just unanswered is on tap. So I don't particularly like to see the IRS cut this far back. Nobody likes audits, but it's what helps keep the crooks in line. And if you're doing your tax filing correct, and you can sleep at night, and you have your documents in order, if you get that letter that you just don't care to see come in the mail, you should still be able to be just fine with your audit. But when there is less and less and less enforcement out there, to the point of people are getting away with it, getting away with murder, then it's not a good situation.
Well, and even now they can't really, they have to have some real kind of selective programming in their selection of things that they that they're looking for to even trigger an audit. I mean, if you have a kind of ordinary looking return, it just flows through the system and nobody does anything, I don't think.
That's right. If you have an ordinary return and you're selected for an audit, it's truly a bad day for you.
Yeah, so. Then there's just bad luck.
Right? Exactly.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break backwards. And come back with the tax investigator. You're listening to Investing Simplified. If you want to join in the conversation, give us a call, 503-417-7626. We have a couple of lines open. Our toll-free 800-990-0750. We'll be right back with more of the Tax Investigator.
The time to stop working is approaching, or maybe it's already arrived. CDs and money markets are paying only fractions of a point. How secure do you feel about retiring right now? Call Chuck Price. He's located right here in Portland. And he can show you how to increase your Social Security up to 67% using specific program rules and the file and suspend strategy. Chuck specializes in working with people who are either retired or are close to retiring, and he focuses on how to never run out of money during retirement. Do this today. Schedule a free 20-minute retirement plan phone consultation or schedule an appointment with Chuck himself. Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000. Chuck Price at Price Financial Group Wealth Management. On the web at pfgwm.com. Do you have a tax question? Here's your opportunity to ask the tax investigator, Kevin Stege, CPA and partner of the Baker Colson CPA firm. You can call Kevin at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now here's the CPA with the tax answers, CPA Kevin Stege.
You are listening to Investing Simplified, and this is the part of our show where I talk about something Carl called me about during the week. Bada boom, bada bing. Okay, no, that wasn't good. All right. So actually, I had a very interesting situation come up over the week, and I think it's still applicable to some of our listeners and our taxpayers out there, and that's the maybe a bit of a wrinkle on a 1031 exchange. And 1031 exchange, and I know you guys have both dealt with these with your clients, is where you take business or investment property that you want to sell but you don't want to pay the taxes on, and you do a like-kind exchange, for usually up in value. Otherwise, there is some taxes to pay, but you exchange that for another piece of investment or business property. And this isn't for personal property, such as your personal residence or a vacation home, but I say that with a big asterisk on it, because there is some ways that you can do a 1031 to or from a vacation home, but you have to really follow the rules there. But this is a scenario where a person has a rental and you've had it for some time, and it has a fair amount of gain associated to it. You don't want to pay $25,000, $35,000, $45,000 in taxes and lose that leverage that you can use to use your purchasing power, basically, to buy another property. And the individual had a view lot over in the ocean, I'm assuming out of the tsunami zone, but those are always big assumptions, but had a view lot in over on the Pacific coast with no home on it, and wanted to 1031 into a piece of property that he already had. And at first blush, that doesn't seem like it can work. Anytime you receive the proceeds from the sale of your investment property, it's going to be taxable. And so if he were to sell his rental, take the proceeds, try to build on the property, he's got to pay tax on those proceeds on the gain first. And so he would lose, you know, $25,000 of cash to be able to build on this view lot. And so there is a scenario where you can do an improvement 1031 is what it's called. And I won't go into the details on how it works. because I'm not the expert on that. That's what the qualified intermediary is paid to do. And frankly, not paid very much, in my opinion, because it is a very detailed, being a qualified intermediary, there's a very fine set of rules you have to follow to make sure this works.
Is there a limitation to what they can charge, or is it?
I think you need to shop that. I've mostly seen them be fairly reasonable. And, you know, I don't know if you have somebody you recommend, but there's a company here and a fellow named Don Ledroot who I've just received a wealth of information. He's local here to Portland and a very knowledgeable guy. And their company is a very good exchange company.
Well, that sounds, I mean, there's a lot of people that are holding property they want to develop. And this sounds to me like a golden opportunity if they know how to put this together.
They do, exactly right. And I think you want to put your ducks in a row and, you know, contact a qualified intermediary beforehand and make sure that it's going to work for you, because there's a number of things you have to do to make that work. And I'm not going to say it's going to be easy, but it can work and it can be very beneficial, especially if this is property you're going to be keeping for a while. 1031 is a great thing to keep deferring the tax down the road. And then, you know, some people say, well, we'd like to move into it, make it our personal residence, and then exclude up to $500,000 again. That they've tightened the rules really tight on that now, where you still have to recapture the depreciation and you still have to pay tax on gain after a certain period of time. It's very limited. But if you were to hand this over as an inheritance, then you have a total, your beneficiaries have a total step up in basis, and it's a very good way to have a long held asset avoid taxation and capital gains taxes.
You know, the good news about from an estate planning standpoint, and one of the things Carl and I have talked about in our seminars, and the stepped up basis, there was talk here a few years ago they were going to do away with the stepped up basis. And when you think about the amount of wealth that has passed in America because of the stepped-up basis, what an advantage to have that. And I hope it always stays in the tax code.
I hope it does too. But as we've, you know, talked in the past, a lot of gain is actually inflation. And to be able to bifurcate that would be a more fair system, but that's pretty complicated accounting, I believe. So,
it might be a moot point if we do, as Harry Dent's been saying, we're going to enter a period of time of deflation.
That makes the 1031 not quite so attractive.
That's exactly right.
Know, the 1031 though is kind of an interesting concept, because you mentioned right away that, you know, when you get the proceeds from the sale of your asset, you're going to be taxed. Well, and I always wondered at first, when we first got the concept of the 1031, is why do you need this middleman that you call the intermediary? And sometimes they call them an accommodator, and they call them exchange agents and things like that. But anyway, what it really is so that you don't ever get the money. I mean, that's really what it's for, and it's kind of a trading through the escrow company almost. And in fact, some escrow companies have their own 1031 exchange departments, so it's kind of an interesting thing, but it has proven to be for many people a really, really helpful thing, so that they can have, you know, maybe they have some real property and it has a lot of appreciation in it, and they would really like to improve their investment, maybe improve their cash flow somehow, so they want to get a better business property, and then they you know, they step up. It's like going from the Volkswagen to the Cadillac, you know, or whatever. And they don't have to pay the tax on it till later, but it is deferred. It's not like tax free. It's deferred.
Absolutely. You know, some of the benefits of doing it is maybe you've got one large property, and maybe you want to diversify and have some properties in other states and have several different properties. That's a good way to go, and that way you're not all in one real estate market. So I mean, there are some good ways. And you know, Chuck, people can also get into these TICs, tenant in common situations, where, you know, maybe you have a rental but you want to get into commercial real estate. Absolutely, you can. There's plenty of places that'll put you in touch with, you know, a large office building that has maybe 1,000 owners across the U.S. and you are, you know, maybe 0.5% owner based on your equity that you bring in. Not a bad way to go either. So there's definitely some investing.
There's a lot of large real estate investment trusts that will allow you to 1031 your property in for a piece of the action in their large commercial buildings. So that is an advantage to do, particularly if you have a complex that maybe you're having a difficult time getting out of it and wanting to reinvest the money maybe into something else. So, yeah, it's a great opportunity. Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break and come right back with Carl's comments. You're listening to Investing Simplified. Pick up the phone. Give us a call, 503-417-7626 or toll free 800-990-0750. And we all have a lot to be thankful for this coming week, and we wish you all a very happy Thanksgiving. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Colson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Colson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercolson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercolson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Colson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
Got a legal question? Coming up is Carl Jepson, estate planning attorney and partner of the Warren Allen Law Firm, with Carl's comments. You can call Carl at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Here's Carl Jepson.
All right, send lawyers, guns, and money.
Well, welcome back to Investing Simplified. It's time for Carl's comments. And that's the time of the show where I talk about something that came up in my practice, and I usually try to pick on Kevin, but today I'm going to pick on everybody. And this is going to be an interactive segment. And this is going to be called Did You Know? And here's the game. You've seen the television commercials where they say, "Did you know, that the insurance company had whatever?" And then they say, what do they say?
Everybody knows that.
Everybody knows that. Yep. So just bear in mind.
Is there a prize for this contest?
No. This is just the way it works. And I picked several of these things which are a little bit challenging. Not really challenging. But we're going to start with the first one, and we're going to work our way to – I have three. So three. First one, did you know that you can have a trust for your pets?
Everybody knows that.
Well,
don't they?
Yes. Well, they do, and you can have a pet trust. Oregon was one of the first states that allowed pet trusts, and now it's actually written into the Uniform Trust Code. So it's a very interesting thing. But that's not the other thing. Did you know that there are companies that promise to take care of your pet for the lifetime for a monthly fee? You know.
Oh, doesn't everybody know that?
Well, yeah. Okay. So the interesting thing is that
I didn't.
We actually, and this is sort of like one of those consumer alerts. I actually saw, we have a case in the office, and someone who purchased one of these things, and they're known around here quite well. They're on TV and stuff like that. And the interesting thing is, the idea is that you pay a monthly fee, and, you know, they basically take care of your pet for you. And they pay for the medical stuff and everything there is to do. But if you read the fine print in this interesting contract, what you have done is you now are renting your dog. And they own it. The company owns it, and you're renting the dog. And I don't have time to go through a whole bunch of stuff, but I'm telling you, it can create a whole bunch of trouble for you later on.
Wow. I just saw an ad yesterday, as a matter of fact, and it's funny that you brought this up because I thought, wow, that's kind of cool. They were talking about you could buy insurance on your dog.
Yeah.
And if your dog ever gets sick, you take it into a certain veterinarian and they take care of it. And I thought, wow, what a neat idea.
Yeah, I'm just saying, beware. Look at the fine print because you know, sounds too good to be true, guess what?
Yep, could probably be. Is. So, yep, buyer beware.
So there's number one. Number two, you'll like, this gets better all the way, I can assure you. Did you know that it's illegal for most people to own a machine gun?
Oh, everybody knows that.
Yeah,
well, that's right. But did you know that you can have a gun trust that protects your trustee or personal representative from becoming an involuntary felon? No. Well, that's, gun trusts are kind of unusual, and what they, ordinarily, a person who has, who wants to have a machine gun, and everybody knows that, everybody wants a machine gun.
Yeah.
Anyway, whoever wants a machine gun or a silencer, or they call them a suppressor, has to get a special federal license. And so you have to pass rather stringent background checks and all that kind of stuff, and you have to pay a fee. And you have to keep the fee up and all that stuff. And you get on every list of watch lists there are, probably from the, you know, from the federal government. But in any event, that's what you have to do that legally. But the problem is that federal law makes it a felony to possess, not just own, but possess a machine gun or a silencer if you don't have the proper license. Well, that means that if you have that in your estate, and your personal representative or your trustee comes in and he starts walking down the street with a machine gun that he doesn't know anything about, he's a felon. Now, one of the things that the gun trust will allow you to do is that the federal regulations allow an entity, including a trust or even an LLC, I guess you could do that, but mostly trust, to own the machine gun. So you can have the... There's kind of an oxymoron when you think about a living trust with a machine gun. But nonetheless, everybody...
Carl, I think one of the things that a lot of people get confused about is a machine gun versus like an AK-57.
AR-15 kind of thing?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the big difference, and that is, there is confusion there. That's not a machine gun. An AR-15 shoots one bullet every time you push the trigger. A machine gun, you push the trigger down, it just keeps shooting until you let your finger off.
Yeah, I mean, and those type of weapons
are illegal. Yeah.
But a lot of people have the kind that you just, every time you pull the trigger, it shoots.
Yeah, I mean, they're like almost any other thing. I mean, you know, most every gun, you pull the trigger and it shoots, you know, one bullet per pull. So, and a lot of people don't know that you can actually own a machine gun. I mean, it's not totally illegal. It's just that you have to have the right licensing. So
are these... Are these excerpts directly out of your own personal will?
No.
Oh.
No, I know. No.
Okay. Talk about his arsenal that he owns.
I do not have a machine gun, nor a silencer. No.
And you don't lease your dog?
No. I don't lease my dog.
Okay.
I don't.
He doesn't want to miss the joy of walking that dog every day.
I'm enjoying that, you know?
Yeah.
My puppy is, though, he's a... He's got teeth, you know?
Oh.
He's really got teeth.
Has he bit you?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, you're playing with the stuff, you know, and his teeth are like needles. You know?
Now, he's just a baby, right?
Oh, yeah, he's just a baby. Yeah, little one, 20 pounds now.
You're training him.
Yes, I'm training him. Training him to, you know, chew on somebody else. So,
I like that.
So, the final one, and that is, did you know that if you have a will, you still have to go through probate?
Doesn't everybody know that?
Well,
we've been talking about that for years on the radio.
Okay. Well, and this is more in line. My answer to that is more in line with the advertisements that we see. And that is, did you know that Steven Seagal would make a very bad chiropractor? And that's Carl's comments.
Oh, I like that. That last one was very good, Carl. Yeah, that was great. Yeah. I think he would, unless you needed a total adjustment.
I mean, you know, think about that. You know, you walk in and they say, well, we got a substitute or massage guy. You know, I mean, you're saying, and the guy comes in, and he says, well, which way do you want your neck broken? You know, I mean, it's kind of really cool.
Well, on that comment, we're going to take a quick break. And listen, if you have a question for any of us, give us a call at 503-417-7626 or toll free 800-990-0750. We'll be right back, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the stock market and investing. So we'll be right back to Investing Simplified.
When your legal rights and responsibilities are involved, you need attorneys you can trust. The attorneys at the Warren Allen Law Firm offer you solid legal advice and exceptional service. We practice in nearly all areas of law. We can help you with your legal needs, including wills, trusts, probate, contracts, real estate, construction, landlord rights, business, personal injury, divorce, bankruptcy, and civil litigation. The Warren Allen Law Firm has represented individuals and businesses for over three decades, and its nine attorneys have more than 200 years of combined experience practicing law. By combining experience and knowledge with individualized attention and prompt service, Warren Allen is the law firm to rely on when you are in need of legal representation. We are conveniently located at 850 Northeast 122nd Avenue near the I-205 and I-84 interchange. I'm Carl Jepson, partner with the Warren Allen Law Firm, and I invite you to contact us at 503-255-8795 or on the web at warrenallen.com.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that legal question or even a tax question answered now. Call the Knowledge Trust at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now here's Chuck, Carl, and Kevin, the Knowledge Trust.
If I had a million dollars.
Well, if you got $1 million, pick up the phone and give us a call real quick, because we'll give you some ideas on how to invest that and how to plan your estate and how to plan your taxes around that. Listen, tax planning and planning totally is something that everybody needs to be thinking about this time of year. This is a time when you need to be talking to your CPA or your tax preparer. This is a time when you need to be talking to your financial person, taking a look at what you own, what you may be able to take advantage of the tax laws to help better yourself. And after all, it's not what you gross, it's what you net. And that's where a lot of people get confused about making money. You can make a lot of money, but if you don't get to keep any of it, it doesn't really matter. So it's what you keep. I'm going to give a quick stock report here, and the market closed Friday, and we're back approaching those all-time highs again. And the Dow Jones closed at 17,810.06, and it was up 91.06 and up 0.5%. Again, I don't like seeing 1.5 to 2% swings in a day. That concerns me. And it concerns me to see them in a week, too, to tell you the truth. But where do we stand on the Dow Jones versus when we hit the high before of 10,907 of 14,164.53? Well, the market's up 25.74% in 7 years and 6 weeks, and that's a 3.62% return. Now, a lot of people have sent me little emails and asked me, why do I report that, and why don't I report what it's done from the bottom to the top, because most investors did not get out of the market, and most investors didn't have the ability, and most financial planners didn't know and didn't get out of the way. And then when that market crashed, everybody still had their money in the market. So if you don't consider where you were at the before the crash, you're not being realistic. You know, if you're one of the few people who were able to do it. And I got to tell you, I've had a lot of people tell me they've done it, but when I ask them to see their tax returns or I ask them to see their results, I never get it. So I don't know. Maybe they just don't want to share it.
Maybe they're a little embarrassed about it.
Yeah. But the reality is, and if we go back to December 31st, 99, when I think there was a song out many years ago called American Pie, when the music died. And to me, when things changed in this country, and maybe for the better, we don't know. That'll be down the road. But I truly believe that when we hit the turn of the century, we did go to a total world economy. Most of the stocks in the S&P 500 are now global stocks. They're not just American stocks. Prior to that time, we had the tech boom. And when the tech boom was going on in the roaring 90s, most of those stocks were American stocks, but they realized that, hey, if we can make this much money dealing with 4% of the world's population, imagine how much money we can make if we go to 96%. the other 96% and become a worldwide company. And companies are not stupid. They're in business to make money. The problem you got to understand if you're an investor is we now are in a world economy. We're not in just an American economy. If you go back the previous 80 years, the American economy was based on American growth and American prosperity and building. Building was the mainstay of America for the previous 80 years. That's changing. This whole thing is changing from a standpoint of stocks. It's also changing from real estate. And I know people say, real estate, I had a guy tell me the other day, he said that his grandma said to him, and I can't remember who the famous person was that said this, but they said, always buy land because they can't make any more of it. And that's true. They can't make any more of it. But here's the problem. And here's the problem that's coming down the road. And if you just think about this, it'll make sense. Today, my generation, Carl, our generation, we had bigger families. People got married earlier, had families, and had more kids. The younger people today, Kevin's generation, they're getting married later in life. They're having less children, and some are choosing not to have any kids. I mean, I know a lot of my clients who their kids have chosen not to have kids, and they were hoping on grandchildren, but they're not getting them because the kids have decided that's not what they want to do. And this is happening more and more and more. And what that means is we have less population coming up down the road. So here's the problem. We may never have more land. But the problem is, do you have enough people to buy the land that you have? And do you have enough people getting good paying jobs and good careers to buy that land? And I just want you to think about that. And, that could almost be that question that you asked, Carl. Doesn't everybody know that? I mean, I don't know. Anyway, the Dow Jones, if we went back again, going back to 12/31/99, I'm going to digress back to that now. But the Dow Jones from 12/31/99 till at the close of Friday is up 3.95% per year. That's roughly 4%. And that's an index that prior to the previous 80 years was at almost 9.5%, 250% higher. I mean, any way you cut it, that doesn't look good. The S&P closed at 2,063. And if we look at the S&P and go back to 10907 when it closed at 1565, that's 7 years and 6 weeks. It's up now. It's getting more respectable here because the worldwide stocks have performed better. It's up 4.47% per year over the last 7 years and 6 weeks. However, if we compare that to the previous 80, which was over 10, it doesn't look so good. And then if we go back on the S&P to 12/31/99 when it closed at 1469, it's only up an average of 2.91% per year. That is not good news. Now, here is some good news. Oil dropped again, and all of us are enjoying it at the gas pump. I know I bought gas the other day for $2.63 a gallon. I was happy. I went back home and got my other car and filled it up. I mean, I thought, hey, this is pretty nice. Now, oil closed at $76.64 a week ago, and this closed at $76.64, but this week closed at $76.64. Last week it was $75.97, so it came up about 70 cents. I like it going the other way myself. I like it going down. Gold closed at $1,201.50, and the week before it was at $1,190, so gold came up a little bit. Interesting, Kevin, the 10-year bond rate, this is the first time I can think of in our show, the 10-year bond rate was totally flat at the end of the day. It closed it last week is at 2.32, and it closed at 2.32 this week. So that means nothing was moving, nothing was shaking, nothing was going on. So pretty standard. I think the thing that concerns me about America, and as I said, we all have benefited from the real estate boom in America, because I know, Carl, you do some real estate, and your firm does a lot of real estate stuff, and Kevin, you guys do from tax standpoint, and we do with our clients. But one of the things that really concerns me is about the housing starts. And I'm just going to kind of go through this with you a little bit and talk about the housing starts and what it really means. Housing starts was down 2.8% in October after rising 7.87% in September. Those big swings are due to changes in multifamily housing starts. After falling for several months since November of 2013, single-family housing starts have been trending higher, and that is good news. We want it to trend higher. However, what does it mean? Increasing construction of single-family homes is a good thing. This is what the Fed has been trying to encourage through monetary policy. However, the growth trend is modest. From January through October, single-family housing are up 5.3% over the same period last year, reaching 696,000 units in October. This is good, but our economy averaged about 1.2 million single-family unit starts from 1990 through 2005. It's hard to see how we're going to get back to those levels anytime soon, which means we won't be creating a bunch of jobs for carpenters and related occupations in the near future. One related mortgage applications for purchases shot up 12% last week, but compared to the same week last year, is still down 6%. So what I would say to you is this. Figures don't lie, but liars figure. When you hear things about rates going up or housing starts going up, what are they relating to? Are they relating to a bottom figure? Are they relating to a top figure? And I'm going to go right at my own industry. There's nobody, there's none of the business networks, including Fox Business or MSNBC or CNN when they talk about business, none of them ever talk to you about going from the high to the high. They all talk about going from the bottom to the top. If you always look at the bottom to the top, you're always talking about a positive rate of return, and it's good to be positive, but you got to be realistic. If it's your money, you got to be realistic about it. And the real rate of return you're getting is the key, not the gross, and not just because some guy on TV is telling you that. You need to check it out for yourself, and you need to compare the numbers. At the end of the day, what you end up in your pocket is what counts. And I mentioned this. I did an interview on my book the other day on a station. I got a question about interest rates and investment rates. And one of the things I mentioned on that show was that I had a client come into my office here a few weeks ago, and they were telling me about this great mutual fund they bought that averaged 15% a year. And I thought, well, holy crap, that is a great investment. I said, well, let me take a look at it. So I went to my favorite site, Yahoo Finance, which we've pulled up on this show numerous times, and I did it. And you know what? By gosh, that investment over the last 5 years did 15%. And I said to the client, I said, well, it did 15%, but let's take a look and see what it did for 10 years. And when I put 10 years in and I put the market decline, that fund was up 3% a year. And I told him, I said, listen, if you bought this investment with the idea that you're going to make 15% a year, you have unrealistic expectations. And your financial planner should have said to you, this has had a great run-up in 5 years, but let's look at the 10 years and let's look at the 20-year. If you're buying an investment and you're not looking at a minimum of 10 years, And I would really recommend today, if you're buying an investment, if you're not looking at what that investment's done for a minimum of 10 years, and preferably back to the turn of the century, your advisor is showing you gaga land, because it's not real. You need to look long-term on an investment. It's not a short-term investment. Now, if you're a day trader, and you're buying and selling stocks on a daily basis to make money, that's a whole different story. And if you're good at doing that, more power to you. I don't know too many people that are. But if you can do that, more power to you. But for the average person who takes their money, sits down with a financial planner and says, hey, I need to invest my money, And for them to tell you this portfolio made 15%, but only being selective and showing you the last 5 years, in my feelings is that's criminal. And it's not very ethical. And I told them to go back and talk to their planner and ask them what this investment has did for over the last 10 years. And see if the guy's going to be honest with you, you know, and that, tell you, you know, it only did three.
Yeah, that's a good point. We've kind of been doled by the tax code that says everything held over a year is a long-term investment. Well, that's not... Maybe that's how it gets taxed, but that's not a real accurate. Long term is you need to look at a quite a bit bigger time period for long term.
Yeah, and I think Kevin, people get snookered into that because it's kind of like what we used to call. And I used to work with a great bank called Ben Franklin, which was a great savings and loan here in Portland. Many of you may know it, and I loved working for those people because they really cared about people. And they were a great organization. And one of the things we used to talk about in our meetings is people that chase rates, people that are chasing the highest CD rate and keep jumping from rate to rate to rate. Sometimes it works, but if you get into a declining interest rate market, you can get killed in a hurry. And even though it's not an equity, it's not a stock, it's the same kind of thing. You're chasing an unrealistic number. And I think that's where people need to really look at the long-term aspect of their investment. They need to also look at the taxation of that investment. Like you said, long-term isn't always the 1 year. It usually is a lot longer, maybe 10 years. And I tell everybody, if you're going to buy an equity investment, if you don't look at a minimum 10 years, you're the fool. You know, somebody told you something different. You know, you're the one that's the fool because you need to look at the 10-year numbers. When you look at the 10-year numbers and look at the real rate of return versus the average annual return, I've got a new whiteboard coming out where I'm going to talk about average annual return, and I talk about it a lot on this show, where average annual return is a number that's required by the SEC and by FINRA for every investment company to perform. But average annual return is not a real number. It's not a real number. And here's the proof. If you have $100, you lose 20% the first year, you now have $80. I got my CPA here to check my numbers. You now have $80. So on that $80, the second year, you make 25%. So now you made $20 on that $80, right? Now you have a total of $100. So in 2 years, you invested $100. You still have $100. What is your average annual return? Well, here's how it works, folks. You lost 20% and you made 25. 25 minus 20 is 5. You divide the 5% by 2 years, it comes out 2.5. So according to the SEC, you made 2.5% per year. What was your real rate of return? Zero. You didn't make any money. And I can show you on a lot of funds. If you sit down and want to take the time to calculate it out, and where a lot of funds that show a 10% rate of return at the end of the day are going to run somewhere around 4 to 6. And it's not because your advisor is trying to be sneaky and not disclose to you, mandated by law, and that's why, you know, in my book, I'm trying to do a petition to change the law because I think we need to change the law. The numbers reported to people on their investment should be true and should be real rate of return, not average annual rate of return. And, you know, but I've had people tell me, and I actually had somebody, I showed them on their investment that they didn't make 10%, they only made 6, and they were mad at me because before they came in my office, they said, we were really happy, we were making 10%. But I said, you weren't really making 10%. And they said, well, yeah, but we were until you told us. And, you know, but I think Jack Nicholson said, you can't handle the truth. Some people can't. We're going to take a quick break and come right back. And with the last segment of the show, you're listening to Investing Simplified. Pick up that phone, give us a call, ask us a question, 503-417-7626 or toll free 800-990-0750. We'll be right back with Investing Simplified. We'll be right back.
Let's face it, the rules of retirement have changed. What we were told to do just a few years ago now seems like a pipe dream. Hi, this is Michael Burnett for Chuck Price, owner of Price Financial Group Wealth Management. You know the drill. Be a loyal employee. You'll get a pension. Your home will be worth 10 to 20 times what you paid for it when you retire. So how's that working for you? Call Chuck Price right now. He's located right here in Portland. Featured expert on Investing Simplified on AM 970. Chuck specializes in working with people who are either retired or close to retiring, and he focuses on protection of principal and tax strategies to minimize your taxes. Call right now and get Chuck's retirement report. It's packed full of information on generating more income during retirement, how to leave more to your heirs, and so much more. 503-253-3000. Chuck Price, Price Financial Group Wealth Management, on the web at pfgwm.com.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that legal question or even a tax question answered now. Call the Knowledge Trust at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now here's Chuck, Carl, and Kevin, the Knowledge Trust.
My name is Money. Money is my
wow,
name.
I like that nice little mix there from If I Had $1 Million to Money is My Name. And if you had $1 Million, money might well be your name. But $1 Million today isn't what $1 Million was 5 years ago or 10 years ago or certainly 20 years ago. It is a big difference. Well, listening, you're listening to Investing Simplified. This is, we've got a little bit of time here and not a lot of time for a call, but do mark down our numbers for next week or the week after or the week after or whenever, and you want to give us a call, keep the numbers handy so you can pick up the phone and give us a call. 503-417-7626 or toll-free 800-990-0750. Kevin, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you, how could they do it?
We're at bakercolson.com, 503-666-5569, and we're located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham.
And Carl?
Well, Warren Allen is located at 850 Northeast 122nd. That's one block north of Gleason, very close to Mile 205 and the 205 freeway. Telephone number is 503-255-8795, and we're at warrenallen.com.
Okay, and we're located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, right adjacent to the Mall 205 and right on the 205 highway. And you can reach us at 503-253-3000 or toll-free at 877-50-PRICE. And you can also go on the web and look at our website at pfgwm.com. And you can also go to my other website called askthefinancialdoctor.com, and I would certainly welcome you to email us and ask us any questions. We can use that on the site. I do want to say that you can also go on Amazon.com and find the book Investing Simplified. You can get the book there, and you can also write a comment about the book if you've read the book.
So can you give us a little flavor of what we might find inside that book?
Well, what a good question, Kevin.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to slip you five after the show.
All right.
I'll tell you, one of the things that we do have on the website, you can actually go and actually read the first chapter for free. If the first chapter doesn't get you excited about the book, then it's not going to get you excited. So we kind of talk about right off the bat, I talk about the 10 biggest misconceptions and myths of investing in retirement planning and implementation. And I've got 10 things on there that I talk about. Real estate always goes up is one of them. Did you know?
Everybody knows that.
Yeah, but it doesn't. But it actually doesn't always go up. And if you don't believe me, take a look at the valuation of your own home and go back to 2006. You might have a rude awakening. You work for a company with a good pension plan and stay with it until you retire. To secure all your retirement needs. That doesn't happen.
Well, everybody
anymore.
Knows that. Ask the Enron people.
Yeah. 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 Good point. Yeah. mutual funds are managed portfolios, so buy and hold them. You will learn in this book the difference And this is one thing they don't teach you in school, and they don't teach you when your advisor talks to you. But there's a big difference between passive investment and actively managed investment. And if you don't understand the difference, buy the book, because you need to know. There is a big difference between passive management and active management. Big difference. Social Security is an entitlement, and you will always have it. Well, just for the record, since 2010, there is currently now less money coming in than is going out. And just another clue is there's nothing left in the so-called trust fund. It's just IOUs.
Well, everybody knows we can trust the politicians to fix that.
Oh, absolutely.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah, everybody knows that.
And everybody also knows that all the young people are just going to be thrilled to pay for all of us old codgers.
Well, we're going to be thrilled. I don't know that they're going to be thrilled. Number five is all annuities are bad. And I'm going to talk about annuities, and I do talk a little bit about life insurance. And I'll say this, there's an ad that's all over TV and all over the radio. It's called Bank on Yourself, and maybe you've heard the ads. And the only thing I would say is buyer beware. If it's too good to be true, it probably is. And I have yet to see any of those things. Truly, when you investigate the numbers, they're all hypothetical. None of them are actual numbers. It's a little hard to believe that they're going to always be right. So I just say if you're doing something like that, check the numbers for yourself. Number six, all advisors are the same. Number seven, demographics mean nothing when it comes to investing. If you don't really understand demographics of where the United States is going, you can't really buy an investment for the future that you're going to hold to grow on if you don't understand the demographics of people that are going to be able to buy the stock that you're buying, you know, buy the services they're buying. You got to understand that. It's not timing in the market. It's time in the market. That was true up to the 80 years before 12/31/99. It's not true anymore. So if you knew that, this is something you need to relearn. Low fees mean better results. That is probably the biggest misnomer in investing. And I always tell my clients, if somebody's telling you they've got low fees, it's because they can't tell you their returns. You know, in fact, I have a whiteboard presentation on low fees, and I say, why is it the people who always talk about low fees never talk about their returns? There is a reason, folks.
Everybody
thanks for
knows.
Listening to Investing, and everybody knows that, right?
Everybody knows that.
Or should. Well, thanks for listening to Investing Simplified. We'll be back in a week and talk to you then. Hey, have a happy Thanksgiving, and hope everybody has a great Thanksgiving.